guys, welcome back to Bit by Bit for another coffee break video. I'm Jess, and this is Janet.
Hey guys.
And today we're going to be talking about our favorite flawed games. And flawed can mean a lot of different things. It's sort of something we were discussing before the video. And for me, when I think of a flawed game, I sort of think of things that, like really could be anything. Just minor glitches to, like, controls not working as well as you want to. Even, like storyline or, like, plot flaws. Although, honestly, I feel like I have a harder time liking games with plot flaws. Mm-hmm. Just because I am that annoying person who comes out of the movie and I'm like, you know, but they never, like, resolved the part where he said this at the beginning of the movie and everyone hates me. So it's fine. It's okay because I normally go with my mom and she's like that too. So sad story of the day. Jess can only enjoy movies with her mother. Anyway.
Janelle's cool.
Yeah, no, she's really great. She likes our stuff on social media. She's the best. She watches a lot of our videos. She'll see this as well. Hi, mom. Anyway. So my first favorite flawed game for me that immediately comes to mind is one of my games that I've recently reclaimed from my house for the GameCube. It's SSX Tricky, and it's a snowboarding, like, sim, and it's super great. It's, like, an awesome game and, like really weird and fun and funny and kind of quirky, and, like, you can get all dressed up in different outfits if you unlock them, have different snowboards and stuff, and the maps are really cool. You can shove people over. Like, you just jump up in the air and, like, just slap them in the face and they fall over. It's great. I know you're not allowed to do that in, like, real snowboarding, but I wish you could. I played this game a lot when I was, like in the 8 to 12 range, I think. That could be a little off. I don't know. I've been replaying it recently, and I was, you know, going through the motions. I have a lot of it sort of still logged, you know, I guess, the maps and whatever. So I was going through and playing and remembering what shortcuts there were and how to do whatever. And then I realized something that I remembered from when I was a kid that I used to do. It's a little broken, yeah. When there's certain parts where if you go through, like, a part of the map that you're not supposed to, it can be a shortcut, you know? So you, like, jump through a thing and everyone else just keep going on the track and you're like, I'm just going to cut through here. And that can work sometimes. But there's other times where, like, and I don't know why they have this button. It's actually really annoying. But it's like, you know, on the GameCube, there's the X button and the Y button and they're above the A button. One of them is to, like, hold your board, you know? Like, you're up in the air and you hold your board so you can do a trick. And the other one of them is, like, a reset button. So if you're, like, halfway down a slope, it'll reset you to somewhere else.
Okay.
But I know it's a little weird, and I don't like that it has that in the first place, because I'm like, why would I need this? But I guess they're worried that you could get, like, stuck somewhere or glitched somewhere, and they want you to be able to, like, nope, pop me back to the track. But in certain areas, if you go a certain, like, if you get a certain amount into an area you're not supposed to be in, and if you push that button, it'll restart you, not back from where you started, but way further down the track than everyone else. So I don't even have to go through the whole shortcut. I just have to get through part of the shortcut and push the button, and I'm, like, way ahead of everyone.
Oh, okay.
Which I try not to do now that I'm an adult. I'm like, no, I'm not going to do it. But I did it on accident once, and I was like, oh, yeah, I forgot you could do that. And I used to do that all the time. And so for me, that's kind of, that's, like, on the lower end of flaws for a flawed game, because I think on the whole, SSX Tricky is, like, just, like, put it on one of my top games of all time. But when it can be that easily beaten, when you're not really supposed to be able to do that, I think that's a little bit of a flaw. But I did also want an excuse to bring up this game, because I love this game, and I've only talked about this game on one other video, and the video audio didn't record, and so we never got to use it. So I've been playing it again recently, so everyone should just know, SSX Tricky is really good, and you can also cheat.
I know, I want to play that on the GameCube as well, because I never played that, but I like, there's not really a good word for this genre, but, like, the kind of unrealistic sports sims, like, those are some of my favorites.
Oh, yeah, the best.
Yeah, I think that's, like, a lot of people.
Speed,
yeah, or, like, NBA Street.
Tony Hawk.
Yeah, oh, NFL Street, yeah. Those are all really good. Cool. So, I feel like even though we prepped for this, I'm like, what are my flawed games? I can't really, I'm having a hard time kind of coming up with good go-to ones, but I think one that comes to mind, and I don't know if this would really count as a flaw, because I think, you know, it's just such an old game that it's just, like, how it is.
Inherent.
Yeah, yeah. So I'm, like, not even, it's, like, people are gonna be, it's just an old game. It's, like, well, I don't know. But to me, like Cruisin' USA is the one that I think of.
Is that the one with the girls
that
dance?
Yeah, 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 yeah. I guess that's a flaw. Sexism is the ultimate flaw. Yeah. The ultimate flaw in the industry. But
if that were the case, I almost ever give a flaw. Yeah.
So. Our favorite sexist games. That's horrible.
Oh, actually.
Oh my god. Yeah, but that's not why I think it's flawed. Even though it is not a good thing. It's not great. But it just doesn't play that well, you know. But and once again, it's just kind of old. It's probably a lot of games from that era. But like, yeah, it's just like a rough go. It's just kind of difficult to control. Basically, that's the only really thing that's wrong with it. But I love that game, Kuzan Yosei. It's super fun. All the tracks are really interesting. You literally get to just like drive across the country. And the part with the women that Jess was referring to was like. Is it the beginning of the race or? Because
I don't know. You know more than me because you played it. I only played it like once or twice.
I think it's like either at the beginning or the end. They have
Is it the end?
Is that that weird thing they have in racing games? You see this a lot in arcade games. I guess this is its biggest flaw, maybe. Mm-hmm. But it has like these women in bikinis, like very Fast and Furious type thing. Mm-hmm. And they'll be like, "All right, ready, set, go!" Or they'll say like, "Yeah, you won!" And they'll like jump up and down and stuff. And it's weird. It's freaky because everything else is so much more like pixelated than the women. Like they like spent all
they, like they really spent their whole budget on yeah these women like rendering these women and down, right?
Yeah. Yeah, and it's but it looks it almost
it still looks
like,
pretty bad but
it almost yeah. looks like they're like I forgot the name for the genre of games, but there's like those games where they put in real life film clips into the game.
Yeah.
There's like a word for that genre. It almost looks like that. Like it's kind of trying to do that.
See, probably what happened was.
Yeah, it's weird.
Probably what happened
probably
was.
Probably the biggest flaw. It's weird.
I was reading this. I mean, maybe we could put a link to it in the video, but I was recently reading this series of like blog posts on Gama Sutra. Is that how you say it? Gama Sutra. That are, they're kind of old. They came out a while ago. That's sort of like a game design 101, you know, stuff. And one of them was about like. Concept, you know, like how like defining your concept and like really sticking to it, you know. And so like one of the examples that he gave was, oh, you know, like Susan says we should use this sort of battle format, and Tommy says we should use this sort of battle format. When we look at our concept and what our overall goal is, we realize that it doesn't make sense to use the one Susie suggested because it doesn't enhance our goal. Even if it's a cool battle system, it doesn't enhance like the overall thesis of the piece. If your goal is to, you know, is to just to get to point A, then you're not going to take all these zigzags in between, you know, unless your goal is to have a game that's sort of like an open world RPG, then yes, you want a lot of, you know, points from A to Z. That's sort of the point he was making. And I'm going to say that for Cruising USA, that their overarching goal was to have women jumping up and down. And that was what, you know, that was the goal. And the people were like, well, you know, well, it's a racing sim, and so we should have, you know, this and that. Maybe we can add this feature, whatever. They're like, no, Jim, the goal is to have these scantily plaid women jumping up and down at the end of the race. And he's like, yeah, no, I get it. But, like, what if we add it? No, Jim. that's how I imagine this meeting going. So, in case anyone was wondering.
Yeah, sounds like a cool article. Yeah, I love Gama Sutra. But yeah, so that's a little weird. I think it just kind of adds to its whole, like, this is another, like, rando, like, kind of jank racing game. But I love that game. It's so great. It also has this one track, like, pretty early on. I haven't gotten that far in the game because it's, like, an older game and a little bit harder because it hasn't aged quite super well. And also, I'm not that good at racing games. So,
yeah.
But it has, like, one track that has, like, that weird music, which is also kind of sexist. Yeah. It's like, it's really weird. It's like super sexual. It's like the most sexual thing I've ever heard in a game, and it's so strange. It's a weird place
really
to be
weird
at.
Game.
Yeah.
Yeah,
what about you?
That's a good one. You know, and this is hard for me too. And I didn't think I was gonna mention this, but now I am going to. I was actually chatting about this with Janet's brother Edwin just before the video, and we were talking about what we were gonna, you know, do our video on today, and I'm gonna bring up Mass Effect for this briefly because at first I was like, I'm not sure if I want to put that in my favorite flawed games, because actually lately, as I've been playing and I beat Andromeda recently and whatever, I was like, I don't know if I want to put this in my favorites anymore, which is a little weird for me because as anyone who like has watched our videos knows, or like listened to our podcast knows, I really love Mass Effect, and that was like one of my first favorite games. Star Wars Knights of the Republic was, but you know, then BioWare continued down the line, and I was like, oh, Mass Effect is like Star Wars: Knights of the Republic, but without the Star Wars, you know? And I think part of it is that there, I'm trying to decide, and I, maybe I have to go back and play the other games, but it's just like a lot of effort. I'm trying to decide how flawed the first three games were versus like, because I guess I really enjoyed them back in high school. That was like 4 or 5 years ago, you know? And my like schema as a gamer has changed a lot since then, like the stuff I've been exposed to and like what I enjoy and like different things I've tried out. And so I can't tell if I was like had it built in my head as a certain way and that I was so used to the game playing the way it plays that when I replayed it, even when I was older, I was like, yeah, this is still great. And then when Andromeda came out and it was a whole new world, whole new plot, I was kind of like, you know, there's a lot of there's a lot of good stuff in the game, but there's also a lot of flaws that I'm like, that makes it a lot less compelling. I can't tell if that's new or if all the old games were like that. So that's one thing I would kind of put in here just briefly as like a favorite flawed games is like, obviously I've always loved Mass Effect, and I'm not just, I mean, I'm not like, if when they come out with another Mass Effect game, which they will, I will play it, you know, and I'm gonna be excited about it. But it could be partly just that the letdown from, you know, wanting a game to be really good.
Yeah. That sounds a lot like that Fry meme where he squints, you know?
Yeah,
like
not sure if yeah, exactly. Yeah,
not sure if Mass Effect Andromeda is not that good or if the series has always had these like things that haven't been working quite well.
Yeah, I think, and I think that might be the case, but I also think it's because I appreciate games like in a more complex way now than I used before. I was like, this is great, space, shooting things, aliens, romance.
I think for the most part, and that's what's so hard about like going back to play old games that you played before, because you realize that like, oh, it's not exactly what I thought it was, or now that I've, or also just playing more games makes you realize that like some things aren't quite as cool as you thought they were, like just because, you know, the more you broaden your schema, which if you guys don't know that term, it's like your understanding, general understanding of a subject, like the more you realize that like, oh, X actually isn't that, you know, special. It's like, actually, this is like every platformer in the history of platforming, you know?
Yeah.
On that note, my favorite flawed game, actually, I don't know why I didn't think of this immediately, and I'm going to get so much, I thought of it because you brought up Mass Effect, which is like such a beloved series. And so I too will drag a beloved series. The Uncharted games are my favorite flawed games.
I thought you wouldn't even like them that much.
I don't, but I do. They're like, so I have like a lot of feelings about Uncharted, and I actually recently wrote about the first Uncharted game, you know, bumped the posts, but which we can put in the show notes. But I have such a sick relationship with Uncharted because I'm going to try to make this as brief as possible. I'm like checking the time. I don't want to go too long on this. So to be as brief as possible, I got this collection of the Uncharted, you know, trilogy. I know there's four games, but the first three came in the, you know, the remastered Nathan Drake collection bundle. And I got it as a gift for Christmas because I, you know, it's one of the big things that people say that you should play on PS4 if you didn't already play it on PS3. It's like that, The Last of Us, Bioshock, you know, the PS3 hits. Totally. The best thing the best things on your PS4 are also on PS3, but less good looking. So, that's just from what people have suggested. So anyway, so I started playing those, and to be as brief as possible, like they're not like I'm like almost done with two, but just to speak purely on one, because the only one I played all the way through, like I started things off and I'm playing with my, end up playing with my brother who lives with me. So it's just me and Edwin, and we end up sharing a save file on it, which is my new favorite thing to do ever since we did it with Resident Evil.
Yeah.
Which you guys should check out that video. So we talk about it. It's so great. Anyway, so I'll just watch him play and we'll like pass back and forth and we'll play like in big chunks of like an hour or 2 hours or maybe sometimes more. And when we first started playing, I was like, this is awesome, especially because like I don't have a strong background in third-person shooters, especially realistic ones. Like I've played Jack and Ratchet and Clank, but they're not, I mean, they're technically third, they're more platformers than shooters. They're like platformers with shooting aspects. So, you know, Uncharted action adventure platformer is the genre. So like, you know, you're doing some third-person shooting, you're doing a little bit of platforming, some very light puzzle solving, and that's basically the game. And people have compared it to Tomb Raider, so for those who, you know, maybe haven't played it. So that's what the game is, and I was, like, really into it at first because I'm like, this is great. Like, you know, we're on this adventure. Like, Sully's hilarious and, like, really, you know, inappropriate and always making all these lewd sexual comments and like Nathan Drake's hot and we're like in the jungle, you know, and you got, it's great, you know, you got your guns, you can do some headshots, you know, I wasn't used to shooting a whole lot, but I had recently been playing Gears. So even though I sucked at Gears Ultimate Edition, the skill is transferred over, and then I'm like, now that this isn't a real shooter, now I can really, really hone my craft, you know? So it was great, and I was having a fun time, and it looks so good. It's a very good-looking game. And then, like, about 3 or 4 hours in of, like, a maybe 8-hour campaign or 7-hour campaign or so, about 2/3 in, like, something inside of us just snapped in half. So what happened is... like, to me, like, my main criticism, like, once again, to be as brief as possible, my main criticism of Uncharted 1 is that, like, it gets, after a while, you've seen everything there is to see in the game in terms of gameplay.
Yeah.
And you're just doing it over and over and over.
I hate over. Stuff like that.
And then you're like, God, this is awful. Because, to be real, like, even when I was enjoying it, it's still, like, kind of basic, you know? It's like, that's why it's, like, my favorite flawed game. It's like, oh, this is enjoyable. But also, you're like, God, this is, like, not very good. And I know that's such an unpopular opinion because people love that franchise. And if you love it, that's fine. And I'd like to hear, you know, why in some senses. But also, like, when's the last time you played it? Because if you loved it but you haven't played it since it came out, which is, I think it came out in 03 or 04, it might not be that, it's not that good, dude. It's not very good. Because I just played it. And I can tell you, like, I can tell you why it's not that good. Like, I'm enjoying some parts of it. And I think, you know, if you're curious, it's worth checking out. But, like, yeah, it just gets old. So, like, but it's, the reason I say it's my favorite flawed game is because, like, and it's, I'm trying to figure out for myself why this happened. Maybe it's because I'm playing with my brother. Maybe it's because I already own the discs. But, like, I just need to see this through. And I'm not normally one of those people. Like, if a movie sucks, I don't need to see the other movies of it.
Right, right.
You know, if a game sucks, I don't need to, you know, I don't need to check out ReCore 2. I might because I'm hoping they do, you know, fix the things I didn't like about ReCore 1.
Right,
yeah. But I'm not, like... if ReCore 2 comes out, I'm going to play. You know, it's not something I'm, like, compelled to do. For Uncharted, there's just something about it. Something about, like, and it's not even that I'm having, like, a good time. It's just, like, I don't know. I have no idea what this is. I don't know if you guys have ever felt this or if you've ever felt this, Jess, but, like, I'm just, like, we have to finish it.
No, totally. And that's...
it's awful.
And that's one of the reasons why I made my New Year's resolution. For those of you who hadn't watched some of our other videos where I mentioned this before, it was to, like, beat every game I start in 2017. So if I started in 2017, before 2018, I have to finish the game.
How's that one horror game going?
I'm dropping it till later. I'm not touching it for a while. It's not good.
December's going to be a hell of a month.
It really is. December, I'm going to be like, okay, I'm taking all my vacation days, you know? Like,
oh my gosh.
So it's going to be pretty bad, but that's one of the reasons, because sometimes I feel compelled to finish something, or, and a lot of times it's because I don't finish it because it stops interesting me.
Yeah.
You know, and that happens a lot. I feel like Uncharted is not the only game that's like that. And I can't vouch for that because I haven't played it, but right. I believe you because I've seen it in everything else. You know, like, a lot of games are like, okay, we have our three things you can do. Now do them over and over again in a very unique combination. Yeah.
And all the environments in Uncharted 1 look the same.
Right. And so it's like...
Uncharted 2, they kind of fix that a little
bit. And that's kind of like, you know, and I get it. And I play games like that and enjoyable. But, like, a lot of times I'm like, well, I've been doing the same thing a million times. I might as well do it, you know, 200 more times so I can finish the game and, like, have it off your plate. And it's actually, like, such a relief to have something off your plate. But at the same time, it's sort of like even when I'm, you know, I'm stuffing at work. I mentioned today I was stuffing little name cards in these plastic folders for an event that we had. And we did, like, 800 of them. And it's, like, the first few, actually, kind of fun. I'm like, yeah, I've got something to do. I'm not bored. It's very easy. I'm just doing this thing. And then eventually it's, like, I want to finish it. And it's not, like, I want to stop doing it. I want to finish stuffing all the things. Like, it's not, like, oh, I see those last 100 or last 200. I'm, like, I can't do it. I don't want to look at them. I'm, like, no, I want to finish it, even though it's ceased to be at all. Like, okay, to be stuffing all these name tags. So it's like my mundane analogy of the day. But I mean, one game that I think of that sort of has to do with, I guess, like, comparisons to the later ones. When you think of, like, oh, well, you know, this game was, if we look at how, even when I think of, like, Mass Effect versus Dragon Age, I guess one of the reasons I wanted Mass Effect to be good is because I really like Dragon Age Inquisition, and I think Dragon Age is killing it compared to Mass Effect, to be honest. Another game that I find it's hard to enjoy now that there's better games out is Morrowind, which is Elder Scrolls 3. Elder Scrolls 5 is Skyrim, you know, and Skyrim's really good, obviously, and it's great. But where I really hit my stride as a gamer when I was a kid was with with Morrowind.
And yeah, it's a lot of people.
It's a horrible game. I love it, though. Like, I love it. And I wish I could still play it. I can't. You can't play it after you've played Skyrim, because you go on there and you're like, God, what's that little block?
Well, it's, yeah, oh, the textures don't. You
know? But also, there's so many glitches. Like,
yeah, I heard there's a lot of glitches.
Oh, my gosh. So, like, I'm like, even as a child, like, you know that this isn't how it's supposed to be. Like, you're walking through the world, you're like, there's literally 12 cliff racers above me. There's these big birds, uh-huh. and they're really hard to kill and really annoying. I'm like, that can't be right, you uh-huh. know? And then you're walking around, and you kill them all, and you're like, I survived. This is amazing. And then you, like, sleep for a little bit. You know, like, just, like, curl up in a ball on the side of this mountain with, uh-huh. like, no health, where you try to gain your health, and you wake up, and there's 5 more cliff racers. And then you're like, why? Like, that's not right. That's not how the game was supposed to be. Somebody messed up the algorithm for, like, how many of these are supposed to spawn. Uh-huh. Or maybe they did it as a sick joke. I don't know. But I still, the cliff racers still come to my mind with, like, horrific things in my life. And that's a flaw, I think. But it's still, to me, like, kind of a fond memory. Mm-hmm. It's like that episode of How I Met Your Mother, for anyone who hasn't watched. I'm just going to briefly recap. I have a lot of analogies today. But, you know, that episode where they're, like, talking about quitting work. And they're like, yeah, but uh-huh. you know when you're going to, like, when she's going to break up with Scooby.
Oh, yeah.
And, like, Marshall's thinking about, or he, like, reflects back on when he quit his job at GMB or wherever it was at the time. And it has plays a song, you know, I will remember mm-hmm. you.
The song that plays with the adopted puppies.
Yeah, yeah, and it does in black and white, and they're like replaying all these horrible moments, like, you know, like someone yelling at them, and they're just like looking at them like, oh yeah, you know,
graduation goggles.
Yeah. So I kind of have that with Morrowind, even though, like, obviously it's done and over with. Mm-hmm. It's been a long time. Sometimes I look back and I just think it was such an amazing experience. No, it wasn't. I mean, but I loved it. I put so many hours of my life into it. But all those hours, I was like, why the hell is it like this? You know, when I was playing the game.
So is that one of your favorite plot ones, Morrowind?
Yes, I love Morrowind. Morrowind's one of my favorite games of all time.
I think, on that note, this one, see, because I don't have too many favorite flawed ones, because usually if it's, like, kind of, like, why else don't I have that big of a catalog of games? And I feel like a lot of times when they're, like, I would love to put ReCore on there, but it just... I'm so upset over it. That's not my favorite flawed game. It's awful.
It's just flawed.
It's just a flawed game. But I think one of my favorite flawed games, just in the sense that, like, it's kind of, to me, flawed also, like, to, like, can carry. Okay, so my definition of flawed game also involves, like, if I were to recommend this game to someone, I'd have to, like, kind of give a little asterisk to it. Like, oh, it's great. But the da 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 da. Yeah. So it's like a but. Like, what game is like, oh, Morrowind's awesome, but it doesn't age very well.
It's another How Much Your Mother
reference. Yeah, it's like, yeah. Okay. It's the, which is the, what was that? It was called, it was like the glass shattering episode, but yeah. But it's, uh-huh. it's a How Much Your Mother thing, but it's also just kind of a life thing. Like, it's like, oh, like, you know, the, what underscores it. So to me, a game I want to throw out for that is Life is Strange. Only because it's not, I wouldn't say it's flawed.
Oh, it's totally, like, flawed. Sorry, but it is.
Like, it isn't, but it is. I mean, I'm bringing it up because I think it's one of my favorite flaws. So the reason I describe this as a flawed game, and then I guess you can talk about it because you both played this game, is that, like, it's so, like, so dramatic, very high school, very, like, Degrassi on some
so
level,
Degrassi.
Which is also why Life is Strange is, like, so white, besides the fact that everyone is white, but they're, like, in a white area, so that's why it's white. They're, like, a private art school. I'm like, this is... my brother calls Life is Strange White is Strange, and when he said that, I laughed, like, so hard. But also, I was kind of like, oh, you know, I have my controller, I'm like, you don't understand, like, you don't get it. But, like, so Life is Strange was kind of my guilty pleasure game in the sense that I loved it. I think it's a great game. I recommend it to people, and I think it does some really interesting things, and, like, it's just such an awesome game to me. But I will say it's flawed just because it's the dramatics of it. Like, the writing and the... It just has, like, those cringe cliche characters, you know? Like, I still recommend it, but it's, like, the reason it was guilty pleasure is because, I don't know if this was your experience with Life is Strange, but for me, I'd be playing it in my room, and sometimes my brother would walk in, or maybe I live with my brother and his girlfriend, so, like, maybe, you know, someone would come by or, like, check in on what I'm doing, or I'd explain the game to someone, or they'd see a scene, and you just feel a little embarrassed.
Yeah.
For, like, playing it. It'll be like, you know, you're playing something, and it'll be like, oh, it's like... Chloe, I'm trying not to give too many things away or anything. You know, I'm your stepfather, damn it. And this is my house. Fuck you, Dad. You know, I'm just gonna smoke some pot and, like, whatever. And then Max will be like, that was hella crazy, dude. What?
She'll,
like,
say that was whack.
That was,
like, that,
yeah.
That phrasing is way out of date.
Whoa, man. That's so whack. Chloe, I always have your back. You know this. It's like in that unrealized.
Yeah, she like. Yeah. Yeah. Uh huh. Yeah. No. No.
It's the same, Max. You left. I left, but I never forgot about you. It's like in the. It's like, what is happening right now? What is this? Can we go? Like, this is so bad.
Oh no.
And then Bright Eyes plays.
It's like, yeah. Very, you know. Oh, Bright Eyes. Talk about
it. Or I love when because our Jess's roommate, our mutual friend Catherine, played a little like the first episode of Life is Strange, and she
stressed her out too much.
Yeah, and she mentioned the what is that? It's a song called, I think it's called All of You by, I forgot, I'm trying to pull up on my phone what the name of that song is. It's called All of You by something. It's the American Girl song, when All of You, it plays at the beginning of the episode one.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then, and Catherine was like, oh yeah, it's this, you know, like white teen angst. And I'm like, I love that song. I literally do. I literally listen to that song, not every day, but it's really close. Like, I'm going to throw that out there. Yeah. I have the Life is Strange playlist on my phone. It's on Spotify. If y'all are whack and interested. Called Life is Strange soundtrack. It's called To All of You by Sid Matters.
Oh.
From the album Someday We Will Foresee Obstacles.
Oh my God.
So that's my favorite flawed game because it's very, no, yeah, you can comment.
I mean, just
on that
like
now.
A quick note of that, I totally agree. And I will say, just like to reiterate, like what exactly like that experience is like, it's very strange because I like the mechanics, right? And I thought they did so mm-hmm. many good things with the mechanics. I was like, it's very interesting, and it was like narrative and like cool, and there was like different stuff you had to do. And I thought they did a good job, unlike Uncharted apparently, of like mixing up the mechanic, you know, like, oh, you get into the third episode, I was like, what? I didn't know I could do this, and then like let you
yeah,
do
it.
Yeah,
it like builds. It builds very well.
And I thought that was nice, and of course they, you know, they had less, like, there's only, it's like a pretty short game, mm-hmm. so, you know, that's easier to do. But I was engaged most of the time with the mechanics, and I was interested in learning more about the plot and whatever, but I was like, but yeah. Can the characters, like, not be who they are? Because
yeah.
I don't want to be Max.
Yeah, they're just less.
I'm sorry, you're lame. And you're like, oh, I'm lame in my journal. I'm like, yes, yes, you are mm-hmm. lame. I'm sorry. And, like, stop talking about it. Like, be a real person. And they were like, it was, like, impossible to really get engaged with them and care a lot about
yeah.
them because they were so fake. Like, not mm-hmm. not fake, like, when you think of, oh, you know, so-and-so is so fake. I mean, but, like, literally, I don't believe you exist.
They felt very, like, YA novel to me.
Oh, yeah.
Which,
no.
like... You know, my apologies to people who like YA and that, yes.
There's some bad, classically
bad. There are probably good ones, but, like, they're stereotypical YA novels, which is to say that, like, the stereotype of YA is that it's, like, overly simplistic, which, you know, is something I really push back against in the YA community, even though I'm not involved in that community, just because I think it has, like, that implication that, like, teenagers can't handle, like, good writing, you know, it's like it's kind
like
of weird,
real,
kind of like
real
that chick lit thing too. That's like also it's like these genres that are like, it's cool they exist because they're like affirming, but also like if they're too cliche, it kind of like has negative messages about like the audience it's trying to reach almost.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. No. And I would definitely agree that, and this is sort of geared at,
it's like a YA video game.
It's a YA video game. And much like the YA novels, I enjoy a lot of the writing.
Yeah.
And ultimately find the characters and plot too simplistic and unbelievable.
I thought the, and this is once again without us kind of giving too much away, maybe we should one day just do like a spoiler video. We just kind of can talk about Life is Strange.
Even though
it's such an old game, but I still really recommend it and I like it a lot. Because of what you said, I thought the plot was really interesting. Just like the storyline itself, like the bare bones of it. Like if we were to put a timeline,
more grit a little bit almost.
Yeah,
I wanted things to be a little more, you know, a little more like
more
Kurt Vonnegut, a little less like, you know, Suzanne Collins.
I know of Kurt Vonnegut. I haven't really actually read his books. And I don't... Who'd you name Susan? What?
Suzanne Collins.
Suzanne Collins. Even just the names, though. Even if you didn't know anything, just the names.
Kurt Vonnegut.
Suzanne Collins.
No, actually, Suzanne Collins, as far as YA authors go, isn't that bad. Hunger Games is fine. Actually, I'd prefer it be a little more Hunger Games than whatever the heck it is currently.
Yeah, so... Anyway, but that's... Whatever. So I would... So to reiterate, the flaw is just, like, the... Yeah, the characters are just very archetypal. It's, like, Max is, like... shy, awkward, kind of like garbagey, but not garbage enough to be interesting. Just kind of like,
yeah, exactly.
She's like, she's recyclable trash. Like, it's like, you're not really trash because I can reuse this water bottle, you know, if I put it in the blue bin, but it's not really like a good person.
But then there's also the woman that annoyed me the most was Kate, because she's like, I hate when they do this. They always have this. They have the stereotypical,
she's a religious girl,
Christian girl,
yeah,
who's sort of shy and a little preachy, mm-hmm. and you know, and like. Everyone's always kind of picking on her, and she's kind of, you know, really polite and like wears her high collars. And I'm like, come on, it's so annoying to me.
Yeah, when you believe in God, you like are really quiet all of a sudden. So
it's
they
like,
had
what
the
heck?
They had
yeah.
like the the bitchy girl who is she's preppy and rich, Victoria.
But she's also like literally sticks her nose up.
But also, isn't everyone rich at this rich ass school?
I know, right?
Max is like, oh, I'm not really rich. I got a scholarship. Okay, yeah, but does that pay for everything though, Max? Does it? I don't know. I don't know.
Think so.
And how'd you get a scholarship with your crappy art? I don't know. Just lots of questions.
I know. You're not good.
Chloe is the cliche girl that, like, went alt because, like, she's rebelling against everything. So, of course, her hair has to be blue. She has to have tattoos. The first time we see her, she's in, like, a violent, intense situation.
Yeah.
That involves drugs, you know? It's like, okay, you know? And then, yeah, the writing is just, like, the things they say, the way they speak with, like, all the hellas and the whack.
I was like, oh my god.
Didn't she say awesome sauce or something?
Awesome sauce. Amazeballs.
Like, isn't she amazing?
She said amazeballs and awesome sauce. I'm like, those are both straight out of sixth grade, man. That's not happening
awesome
anymore.
Awesome sauce. God, I love these waffles. You know, it's like, what?
What's up? These waffles?
You know,
what's
wrong with you? It's like so
there's
weird.
There's a lot of moments like that where I was just like, ugh, you know, and you don't want that
it's
again.
Bad.
That's the flaw. Mechanics and the like premise, super interesting. Mm-hmm. I just wish it had been better.
Still worth playing, but definitely like
played and cringe.
You got to put an asterisk on that one. It's like, yeah, okay. So
anyway, so we really went in on like
I know,
Strange, and I feel a little bad because I do like
well,
the
you
game,
can,
but
we talk about it a couple times in different videos for our darkest moments in gaming that was in there a couple other times.
Dark.
It's
not as dark as I want it to be. It's okay. Anyway.
No, we do need to do a spoiler podcast and video on that. But before we close out, are there any other quick flawed games we want to give a shout out to? How do you feel about Gone Home? Because it's also like narrative.
I like driven. Gone Home. I think it's worth playing. It's not something I would replay. I know we played it with the commentary.
So good.
I know, and I'll do that eventually. Yeah. I think it's fine. I've recently played a game that I wrote about on my blog, so I shouldn't remember the name of it. I don't remember. We can put it in the description, but it's basically you're this, like, artist who's kind of murdery, and it's very Gone Home-esque in the playstyle, but it's just, like, so much worse. And I'm like, that really points out how, I guess, well done Gone Home is in some ways. I think it's pretty decent. Do you have any last-minute ones?
I don't, but I guess just... So the reason I brought up Gone Home is because I know it was one that you weren't, like, in love with. Like, I loved
it's
it.
Fine.
And you're like, oh, it's good. So I just want to see if you thought it had any of those. I think the reason
it's just
Gone
not
Home...
is interesting to me.
I think the reason Gone Home avoids the narrative cliche flawed thing is one, besides the fact that, like, its content is inherently, like, less shown in video games. I don't want to spoil anything about, like, the plot and stuff. So besides that fact, I think... Even when it was, like, maybe a little cheesy or maybe a little cliche. Well, one, like, cliches are cliches for a reason. We've all had, like, some of these cliche moments in high school have actually happened to us.
Sure.
And then the other thing is...
They all happen.
All
at once.
They all happen in Life is Strange. All of them happen. Except for, like... No, I think at one point someone has a pregnancy scare. Like, I don't know if you've seen the thing. Yeah, so
you
everything happens.
It's in
the garbage,
I totally checked if they were pregnant, too.
Yeah.
In the game, I was like, I have to know. Yeah.
But... the nice thing about Gone Home is since even though it's narrative driven and is a little like a little cheesy sometimes, like it's the narrative pieces are like sparsed out and like short enough that like you can it doesn't oversaturate it.
It leaves a lot to the imagination.
Yeah,
too.
Like it's like
there's a lot of blanks and that lets you fill it in with your apparently more creative mind than whoever made Life is Strange.
And there's more going on than just like the core narrative, which is like finding out, like learning about your little sister and how her life's going. It's also like got stuff about your dad and stuff about your mom and like there's other things
happening.
I think
it's actually really good.
Yeah.
I mean, so I guess we can end off the video with a game that's actually good. It's not flawed. We like it. Gone Home.
Yeah.
Check it out. Also check us out on social media.
Yeah.
I'm gonna get it right this time.
That transition.
We are.
Go
thank
for it.
You. We are on Twitter at Bit by Bit Gaming.
Mm-hmm.
We are on Instagram at Bit by Bit Gaming.
Okay.
We are on Facebook at Bit by Bit Gamers.
Yep.
And we also have a Pinterest page now, don't we, Jan?
Yes, we do. And our Pinterest page, I'm going to grab my phone just to make sure, I believe is also pinterest.com/bitbybitgaming. I believe it's Bit by Bit Gaming as well.
Yeah, Bit by Bit Gaming is our usual one. I just think it wasn't available for Facebook.
Yeah,
right?
It wasn't available for Facebook.
Yeah, so.
But I can double check. Maybe I can change it. But yeah, I think that's what it is. I can't see it on the app, but I'm pretty. I'm
just
almost
look
positive.
Up Bit by Bit on Pinterest. It's also on our. It's on our other social media.
Yeah, it's on. I just made a YouTube button for it for our Pinterest.
Yeah,
so
click
that's on there
it.
Too.
Check us out on our podcast. We are now available on Stitch and at iTunes as well. And thank you guys so much for watching the show. We'll see you next time.
Bye.
Bye.